Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Safeties are back. Corners up. Snap is back. Nick Foles going to arch it down the right sideline, up in the air for Allen Robinson. Grips the football for the touchdown. Heck of a catch over the right corner on the far side of the field, and he makes the grab for six. And the Bears tighten it up to 19-9. Boy, he had to have strong hands for that one and grip it and rip it on Isaiah Rodgers.
We love Allen Robinson. He's a great player for us, Jason. We know that. And not just the player, but the teammate, the professional that he is. Again, the franchise tag is an option for us. It doesn't mean we're necessarily going to use that. But we want to keep our good players, and Allen is a good player for us.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
So, Ryan Pace just spoke. Matt Nagy speaking shortly. John Hollinger, former VP of player personnel in the NBA, will join us in a little over half an hour. He's going to answer questions like, is Zach LaVine a max contract guy? What could you get for Thad Young? He's going to give us the front office perspective on the Bulls in just over half an hour. But Speaks, I think that we can at least take this away from what Ryan Pace said there when he talked about franchise tags available to us. We are not in the business of letting our good players go, and Allen Robinson has been a good player for us. Allen Robinson is going to be a Bear next year. Like, one way or another, happy or unhappy, maybe holding out even. Like, it might be drama filled, but the Bears have contractual control over Allen Robinson if they want to exercise it. They cut Buster Skrin yesterday, freed up a couple million against the cap. We know that there are other obvious cap casualties still to come, whether it be Bobby Massey, whether it be Jimmy Graham. They can convert Khalil Mack's roster bonus to a signing bonus, which then would not count against the cap. There are many ways for the Bears in the next 7 days to get the requisite amount of cap space to extend the franchise tag offer to Allen Robinson. So my guess is, like I've been saying for months, frankly, that's where this is ending. And I don't expect Allen Robinson to sign it right away, because if he doesn't sign it, then he's technically not under contract, and then he doesn't have to show up for mini camps and OTAs and maybe even training camp, and then they can decide whether or not they're going to fine him. But this happens once or twice a year in the NFL. A high-profile player reaches a disagreement and a contractual impasse with his current employer. He gets pissed about the franchise tag. He holds out for a little bit. But ultimately, you know what happens? They sign it and they show up, because it's $16 million, roughly, fully guaranteed, as opposed to nothing. And so my guess is we're going to get an unhappy franchise-tagged Allen Robinson, and that's how this thing ends. But he's ultimately a Bear next year.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's true. And sometimes there are more guys franchise tagged than perhaps people realize. I think it was 17 last year. There have been several years where there was 15 or 18, or a couple years there was even 20 around the league.
Can issue one per year.
Correct. And it does happen, and it has happened. And every time you risk a little acrimony, just a little, and usually it doesn't come back to bite you. When you are as thin as they are at offensive talent, you'd think they could have come to an agreement before this and saved some of the acrimony and rewarded a guy and all of that. But I get it. I get it. It clearly sucks for Allen. He clearly has a voice that his teammates care about. And I think they're going to end up keeping him and just doing what they do. And they want to navigate those waters with everybody feeling pretty good about it. And it can be hard to do. I don't think Allen feels particularly good about it right now. And some teams are better at that than others.
No question about that. But what I would say is the words that you're using, like acrimony, feeling good about it, there's not much place for that in the NFL, especially this year, where for the first time in my lifetime of actually following football, right? It might have happened when I was a kid, but in terms of like actually paying attention to it, because I believe it's 20 plus years of growth, the salary cap normally goes up every single year. And this year it's going down. And it's going down significantly. Now, not as significantly as
you're right.
as we thought.
Insane. Mm-hmm.
So this is a virtually unprecedented season. Certainly, there's no player in the league today that has ever experienced this type of situation in terms of the cap. Every year Tom Brady has been in the NFL, the cap has gone up from the year before. And so there's going to be more veterans than ever out on the market, and then there will be less money to go around because teams will be more cap strapped, and it sucks. We see it in baseball, right? Bad year to be a free agent.
Sure. Happens all the time. Again, guys get stretched to the end of their existing contract and they hit free agency at a bad time and all of that. No, it's
sometimes
it's,
you hit it at a great time, right? Sometimes you're Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Durant became a free agent when they had that crazy bump and every team in the league could afford a max contract. And he was like, really? The Warriors could afford me? Cool, I'll do that. I'll take a max contract and go play with Steph, Clay, and Draymond. That had never happened before in the history of the league, where the best team was like, oh, yeah, we can also offer a max contract. It's just, it's luck. Right? This is an unprecedented thing. Mm-hmm. Cap's going down. And so, while, like, on a human level, do I feel badly for Allen Robinson? Like, I guess, I feel sports bad for him because it's bad luck. But he's fine.
I feel like this is a good time to remind our listeners, and welcome in if you are our listeners, or perhaps if you're a new listener, if you're somebody who's not ordinarily here and you find yourself here, hi, how you doing? I'm Matt Spiegel. He's Danny Parkins. It's the Parkins and Spiegel Show on 670 The Score. We came to a realization a couple weeks ago, maybe it's 8-9 days ago, Danny, where you, admittedly, are too physically soft for football. Like, you just physically, with the history of back surgeries and just your general distaste, salute, for pain, you are too soft for football. Me, with my emotional and my hippie sensibilities and my love for humanity, my desire to do right by people, my belief in the power of good vibes, I am too soft for fantasy football and probably for franchise mode on Madden, and certainly too soft to be a general manager or an agent is surrounding football. And I just want you to know, listeners, that this is part of our dynamic, part of our understanding together, and I fully admit my softness for those realms of football. And I believe that you admit your softness for the physical realm of football.
1,000%, man. Are you kidding? I have no interest in being hit by anyone or anything at any time.
And what I'm saying is, during my college years, when I was the center and nose tackle and play caller and de facto coach for the mighty Sequoias and the Emerson Intramural Flag Football League, I felt like I could have done something at a higher level. Around then, I felt, what?
You're delusional.
Well, I'll tell you what, I wasn't afraid of it. I wasn't too soft for it, mister, okay? So you can make fun of my softness all you want, but if I had been lucky enough to make a college squad of any sort of legitimacy, I would have shown up to practice and gotten hit a lot and shown up again the next day.
Yeah, the only thing stopping you from being Rudy was that you went to Emerson. Otherwise, you would have gladly been the tackling dummy. I'm sure. I'll believe what you're selling when you sell me oceanfront property in Nebraska. But yeah, I am too soft for the physicality of football.
Yes.
But man, this is a cutthroat salary cap.
I don't like it.
Salary floor. Yeah. There is a regimented league calendar. And by the way, let me be clear here. I'm not even defending the Bears on this one. It's just the reality. Chris Godwin's going through it in Tampa. Kenny Galladay is going through it in Detroit.
Oh, this sucks.
This is not unique to the Bears. Like, they are about to have an unhappy player on their team.
We've seen this before. We've seen this before in this town. Allen Robinson will likely become the fifth Chicago Bear tagged as a franchise player since the debut of the franchise tag in 2007. I ask you, Danny Parkins, you, Chris Tannehill, the listeners, Bears who have been franchise tagged. Kyle Fuller was transition tagged
a couple
years ago.
And they matched the offer from Green Bay.
Yes, sir.
That's a good question.
Four previous Bears have been tagged as franchise players.
Can I be honest with you? It surprises me that it's that few. Like, that really does surprise me. That they haven't had to use it, that they haven't had to use it more. Because it's just, I get why players think it sucks. They'd rather have a long-term security. But they're the type of team where just, I don't know, like, every team should use it if you want the guy for one more year in a sport that doesn't have longevity.
I'll tell you,
Alshon Jeffery
is exactly right. Alshon Jeffery was franchise tagged. That was 2016. It was the non-exclusive franchise tag, but he was absolutely tagged. That is the most recent one. As I mentioned, Kyle Fuller, a transition tag in 2018. One of them will be a shock to the collective Bears fans' memory systems, if that is indeed a thing, because it's insane. I completely forgot that this dude was franchise tagged. But two of them are working Bears media in this town.
Was Lance one of them?
The first year that the franchise tag was available, Lance Briggs, 2007, along with Dwight Freeney that year. For the Colts. So, yeah, very, very good players at awkward moments in their careers have ended up being franchise tagged. Lance Briggs is certainly one of them.
All right, give us the others.
Matt Forte in 2012 was franchise tagged, the same year that Ray Rice was, that Dwayne Bowe, someday we'll find it, the Dwayne Bowe connection, was franchised down there in Kansas City. So Forte was franchise tagged, and then they decided to pay him the next year. And so Alshon, Lance Briggs, Matt Forte, and I completely forgot that defensive tackle Henry Melton was a franchise-tagged player in 2013. It's crazy. There are some lesser names on this list. I'm looking at every franchise guy. Sometimes that's why you do it. It ends up being retroactively. You're like, man, I'm glad we franchise-tagged that guy. He wasn't worth the contract we almost gave him as we were figuring it out.
Oh, dude, I mean, teams franchise-tag kickers. Sometimes.
Yes.
It's just a contractual mechanism to lock a team in and have continuity. Like if Allen Robinson would have signed a long-term contract extension, I bet you that they would have franchise tagged Cairo Santos because he had such a good year for them last year and has probably outpriced themselves and he might get paid on the open market. So it doesn't mean you're a superstar when you get the franchise tag. It simply means the team and you can't reach a contractual the team wants you. You want the team. Or no, you don't even have to want the team. The team wants you. They are willing to pay you for 1 year. You want to be paid more than the average of the top 10 salaries at your position for multiple years. You reach an impasse. Team slaps the franchise tag on you. But I just think from
lots of kickers. Lots of kickers. I'm seeing 1 year, four different kickers in 2012. Five different kickers were franchise tagged in 2012. That's how you lock in your kicker, at a salary.
It's a year-to-year thing. It's kind of like relief pitchers in baseball. Kickers can slump, and there's not a huge difference between top end of the market and bottom end in terms of what you're paying. So oftentimes teams are just like, whatever, we'll throw the franchise tag on a kicker. But I think for most Bears fans, they will side with Allen Robinson, and you should. You should always be pro-player instead of pro-management, but this just happens. And this offseason with the cap going down, it's going to happen more. And Allen Robinson, as long as he shows up and plays, that's all you should care about. Yeah. Like, you don't need – they've already paid him, by the way. They already signed him to an open market.
Yep. They rewarded him with that deal. He was thrilled. I remember the social media celebration on his part when he got it. And you know what? He's been phenomenal. Has absolutely lived up to the contract. And look, here's the thing, Danny. Anybody who's listened to us during the football season knows that I've had my doubts about whether you want to pay Allen Robinson like a top-tier wide receiver. Because he's not a home run hitter. He's a singles hitter and a doubles hitter and a really, really good one at that. But he is not really a home run hitter. And I wonder whether to pay those guys. And then we've had a wide array of conversations with some great football guests, Michael Irvin among them, saying you need that singles hitter. You need that guy. When you have one who's great, you don't let them go. And he wishes Allen Robinson had his Troy Aikman. And Allen never has. He's had his Blake Bortles. And he's had his Mitch Trubisky's and his Nick Foles. He's had absolute trash, abject trash at the quarterback position. Let me ask you this. Do they need to think about tagging Cairo Santos? I know you can't tag them both, and they're going to
probably
do it.
Well, you can't tag them both.
I know.
You cannot tag them both. And so that's why it's in the team. So I'll give the other side of it.
Yeah.
That's why it's in the team's best interest for cornerstone guys to actually work out long-term contract solutions. It's not really for happiness. Like, happiness is nice, but this is professional football. Like,
oh, see, now I will not stand by and have you minimize happiness. I am thoroughly too soft for fantasy football. You can't minimize it. It is a very nice benefit to signing that deal, and then you can show up every week and show up every offseason without having to answer questions about it and hide your disgruntlement the way that Allen Robinson has poorly done, frankly.
Of course. And Allen Robinson, just so I'll make the two points. To finish that one, it's good for the teams because you'd like to be able to, in a pinch, be able to use it on anybody else, and you want to have more flexibility, right? The franchise tag number, 100% of it counts against the cap, whereas with long-term contracts, you can massage it. You can convert bonuses. You can make lower cap hits in some years, higher cap hits in other years. So there is more flexibility for both sides with a long-term deal. But why Allen Robinson in particular is upset about getting this franchise tag, and we know this for a fact, is he's already had it once. So he got tagged coming off of his ACL injury in Jacksonville. And so for him, he then signed the deal with the Bears, absolutely lived up to his end of the contract, and is now trying to get his last big long-term payday as he enters his, 28-year-old, 28-29 season, that he feels like, man, I shouldn't have to get the franchise tag twice at two different points in my career when I've established myself as a veteran. It's a reasonable stance for him and his agent to take, but there's nothing in the collective bargaining agreement that says he can't be franchise tagged twice. That exists.
A couple of textures crossing sports with me saying Tony Gwynn was only a singles and doubles guy. He's in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, there were people that thought he wasn't quite as valuable. But yeah, you're right. Another one speaks, Allen Robinson can't be a home run hitter if his quarterbacks throw everything neck high and 8 inches off the plate. That's fair.
A-Rob isn't the problem. Fair. Just like Zach LaVine isn't the problem with the Bulls, so pay him and keep him and figure out the rest. Allen Robinson's not the problem with the Bears, so pay him, keep him, figure out the rest. I'm just saying, Allen Robinson wants more money per year than the Bears can get him for next year on the franchise tag, and they're cap-strapped. So they're going to – they will sign him to a long-term deal if he will do it at $15.8 million per. I guarantee it. Hmm. They would sign him to a long-term deal yesterday if they could get him for 15 point. But he wants pre-pandemic $19, $20, $21 million. He wants Mike Evans, Tyreek Hill, Keenan Allen. We've discussed this. And, like, they're not going to give him an extra $3, $4 million a year for Matt Spiegel's vibes, babe. They're just not going to.
So do you think that I am delusional? I promise you I'm not hope trafficking. When I said what I said at the end of the last segment about just having the good feelings towards the potentiality of Deshaun Watson to the Bears. That I'm having some of those good feelings because the Bears are waiting as long as possible before they do anything, and I'm oddly encouraged by the lack of quarterback movement and by the vagaries. Or is this just confirmation bias? I'm seeing more and more. We have the Rounders bit that you played earlier from Dan Orlovsky. I saw Vinny Iyer over at the Sporting News writing about how it makes so much sense. We have what is truly going to be offered by teams of consequence like the Jets and potentially the Dolphins and Carolina. Those are the three that I'm really looking at who could all offer more in terms of a draft pick in this particular draft. But I put all those things together, and I add in my full belief in the dysfunction of the Houston Texans, the absolute chaos of the Houston Texans. And I dream of Ryan Pace doing everything he can to keep this job for another 5, 6, 7 years, right a horrific draft bust wrong, and end up with Deshaun Watson to the Bears.
Delusional. You're asking me, do I feel any of that? I will answer
that's what
that.
I said. That's what I said.
Now answer that before John Hollander coming up on the score.
We want to keep our good players.
It's a good strategy, frankly. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score. We will have John Hollander on in a few minutes to give us the big picture on the Bulls, former front office guy for the Grizzlies. He's actually really interesting. He's big into analytics. He created the player efficiency rating stat, PER, in the NBA. So we will talk to him about the Bulls going forward and what is facing Mark Eversley and Arturis Karnišević. We'll turn around some of the best of Matt Nagy in just a little bit. One point of correction, Allen Robinson was faced with the franchise tag from the Jaguars. They decided not to give it to him, so my mistake, had that wrong, and that is where they are. But Brandon Parker, the agent for Allen Robinson, just tweeting cryptically, "I plead the fifth." This guy continues to love to get in the mix whenever his client is being discussed publicly. He live tweeted games when they weren't giving him red zone targets. He has openly questioned how the Bears have handled this. So, to your point, Allen Robinson, if he ends up with the franchise tag, is not going to be happy if Brandon Parker and Allen Robinson are any reflection.
Five, one, two, three, four,
fifth. So he's pleading the fifth. But let me answer your question.
Yes.
I reading anything into, or getting any hope, basically, that the Bears are going to be able to make the highest bid on Deshaun Watson? Is that's the question?
Yes, because I'm starting to have that feeling. I'm starting to feel this odd sense of optimism that if Deshaun Watson gets dealt, that it very well may be here because of the motivation for the Bears, because of the lower reality of the asking price, or the getting price, I should say, than what we have been talking about and bandying about. I think the price is going to end up being lower than that.
Why?
Because history would tell you that it has. I mean, so much of what went from the Rams to Detroit for Stafford is mitigated and affected by how much money Detroit took for Jared Goff. It's not as if you look at that and say, oh, that's the new price for a quarterback. No. Like, a quarterback has – Carson Palmer is the most ones. Carson Palmer was it two ones for Carson Palmer? Was it even two ones?
No. It was a one and a two, actually.
It was a one and a two. So yeah. I don't think a quarterback has ever been traded for two ones. I don't.
Just because
you and so many others understandably see the value for Deshaun Watson as what it is, and see the league as having changed, you've got a head coach and GM in Seattle who don't agree with you in terms of the value of the franchise quarterback. They'd rather, as you say, run the ball more with Chris Carson. There's a lot of people still in this league who would not give up the entirety of the farm. We talked to Hub Arkish on Tuesdays at 4. I just don't think the gettable price for Deshaun Watson is what you believe that it should be. I don't think it is.
Okay, I think you are wrong. flatly wrong. Because first of all, like, even though the Goff contract was involved, it still was two ones that were involved. Jay Cutler was traded for it. And again, I've seen Laremy Tunsil be traded for two ones. I've seen Khalil Mack be traded for two ones. I've seen Jalen Ramsey and Jamal Adams be traded for two ones. So in what world is Deshaun Watson less valuable than those non-quarterbacks, man? Like,
I hear you, but the Cutler trade, by the way, yeah, there were two ones. There were two ones, but the Bears also, and there was a three, and Kyle Orton, and the Bears gave back a fifth-round pick. All right, so that's not a lot. That's very, very little. No, I know. And that's the most. I think that we looked back at all these quarterback trades. That's the most that anybody ever gave for a quarterback. And history says that was not a good idea.
Oh, okay. I mean, listen, you think he's going to get traded? I promise you. I promise you that if Deshaun Watson gets traded, it will either be for three or more first-round picks or another franchise-caliber quarterback in addition to picks. And the Bears don't have the franchise-caliber quarterback to give them.
But remember, my premise was that the Bears will do that. Their desperation will do that. So maybe they will give up those three ones. They will give up those three ones and a player. I don't think the Jets and or the Dolphins, with that high of a draft pick that they have, are going to give up multiple ones and their young quarterback to do it. I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to look at themselves and say, I've got the number two pick, I've got the number three pick, and I'll give you next year's one, something like that. But if you're Houston, you can end up with three ones from the Bears. What I'm saying is I think the Bears are going to be able, and they're going to find a way. They might be able to find a way to offer the most. Even though they don't have the young quarterback and the higher caliber of draft pick, they're going to offer the most volume of assets.
I would love for you to be right. We will talk more about this. The problem is that one of their assets doesn't give them a quarterback, whereas the second overall pick would give them a quarterback. The third overall pick would give them a quarterback. But we'll get back to it in a minute because we got to go to the NBA here. I've been wanting to talk to this guy for a couple of weeks. Former VP of basketball operations for the Grizzlies, created the PER stat in basketball. Now he's a senior NBA columnist for The Athletic, and he's been writing about the Bulls a little bit recently. I love reading his stuff. John Hollinger with us on the Parkinson Spiegel Show by way of the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. John, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it very much. So we're going to do mostly big picture Bull stuff with you, as you can give us the front office perspective on Arturis Karnišević and Mark Eversley and what they're facing. But I'll start here. Do you think the Bulls are going to make the playoffs this year?
I don't think they'll make the playoffs, no. Now, whether they can make the play-in tournament, do you count that as making the playoffs?
Chicago,
no,
I think.
Technically.
I think in Chicago we'd be excited about the 10
seed. Playoffs. I mean, you're still going to be in the draft lottery. I mean, like, that to me doesn't count. So I think they have a halfway decent chance of getting to the play-in tournament. You know, there's basically a traffic jam in the East standings right now. And even though you wouldn't maybe call them a favorite to land in the top 10, I mean, it only takes one or two injuries or another team going sideways or whatever, and then all of a sudden you don't even have to end up with that great a record to maybe end up in 9th or 10th. So, can they get into the play-in tournament and then maybe get in that way? Possibly. I would say that's a more kind of realistic picture of what a playoff appearance might look like.
So if you were Arturis Karnišević, how would you approach this trade deadline?
I think you have to be thinking beyond this season, certainly. I mean, you came into this year with pretty limited hopes about what was going to happen this year. You were just building for what comes next. Basically, haven't really done anything yet kind of transaction-wise other than drafting Patrick Williams, right? They basically have the roster they inherited a year ago. So I think this is the year where you find out what you have and make that evaluation, and then you start really putting your stamp on the team this summer. Now, maybe there are some things he wants to do before then to get this team into position for next year. I mean, they have a lot of options after this season. They got a lot of expiring contracts. They're going to have a bunch of cap room potentially. You know, got some interesting contract situations. I mean, Zach LaVine's getting to a point where he's got going to have just the 1 year left on his deal. There's a lot going on. Zoe Markkanen's restricted free agency. Wendell Carter's a year away from, you know, contract extension potentially. Like, there are a lot of tough decisions that need to be made within this next year. But I don't think going all in to try to make a charge for the eighth seed is the way to do it at all.
Before we talk about Zach LaVine and his potential contract, want to follow up on this trade deadline. If a player like Thaddeus Young has been a huge part of the development and growth of a guy like Zach LaVine, who perhaps is somebody you're going to invest in, how much does that weigh for a front office to decide, all right, should I trade Zach LaVine for asset X and just get whatever, trade Thaddeus Young for asset X, get whatever I can, or keep him around and help me with the development of a guy or two that matter a whole lot? At that point, does the acquisition cost matter?
Yeah, I think they're in a similar situation to what the Pistons were with Derrick Rose a year ago, where they took calls on him, and if they could get something really good, like if they had been able to get a first-round pick for Derrick Rose, they probably would have traded him at that time. It was the same situation. He had a year and a half left on his deal, like Young does now. And short of that, he's been valuable enough for them, and he's still under contract for next year on a partially guaranteed deal, that I don't think it's worth it to do a deal with him just to get like a second round pick for 2 seconds or something. But I think for a first, I think that's really the bar for you if you're the Bulls.
Do you think they can get a first round pick for Thad Young, considering not many teams are going to be sellers?
I would say it's unlikely. I think it's unlikely, but not like wildly unreasonable, but I would say it's 80-20, not.
Okay. 80-20, because Arturas was saying today that he thinks that there's just not going to be many sellers because of the play-in game, which made me think maybe then the Bulls should become sellers.
Yeah, I agree that there won't be that many sellers because there are more teams who still see themselves as being in the race, right? So it's only natural. That said, there's not that many buyers who can do stuff with draft picks because so many of these teams traded all their picks to build the rosters they have, especially the top four or five contenders. So that limits some of the options too. So I'm really interested to see what happens this trade deadline because of that, because there may be less action than we're used to.
We're talking to John Hollinger, senior NBA columnist, former front office guy for the Grizzlies. He's with The Athletic now. Do you think Zach LaVine's going to get a max contract?
I think he probably will, yeah. I mean, certainly if he repeats this year next year, yeah, I think he definitely would. He'd only be like, 26 or whatever at the time. I think he's probably looking at a max.
Can you help us quantify what he's done in terms of his leap in efficiency this year?
Yeah, it's been pretty great. I think it's just his decision making as an offensive player has just steadily improved in the time he's been in Chicago, and really just dating back to UCLA. You scout him as a freshman there, the athleticism was obvious. And he had some shooting ability, but there just wasn't the same level of filter for what was a good shot and what wasn't. And I think he's really refined that to where he's getting to good threes, or he's getting downhill and putting pressure on the rim, and it's been really effective. He's obviously this physical tools. He's very quick on his first step. He can really jump. He's an accurate shooter. So if he gets good shots, I mean, he's gonna score a lot of points. And that's what he's been doing. It's really carried the whole offense. They're basically a league average offense this season without a whole lot of other players contributing that much offensively.
Where the Bulls are in their life cycle as they try to build would it hamstring them to give him a max contract? Is it dangerous as they team build to do that with a player like Zach LaVine?
I don't think so. I mean, I think you have to pay your talent. And so I don't think that would be a massive mistake. No. I mean, I think they have to ask themselves what other options are out there in free agency or the trade market. But I mean, Chicago has some appeal as a free agent market, but I don't think it's Miami or LA either, where guys are just going to automatically flock there. So I think you have to keep that in mind too. You have the bird in hand.
John, we're so used to watching this Bulls team the last few years and hoping, frankly, for losses or tank wins, as we called them, and, you know, and hoping they get lucky in the lottery. Now we actually trust the front office and we trust the coach. So is it more sensible as they build to try and be decent and go ahead and get a playoff spot and become more respected around the league as a possible free agent destination, as you mentioned? Like, is that in their best interest to go ahead and do what they're doing, even if it means falling out of a lottery?
I think it's probably in their interest to attempt to win, yes. Especially the draft this year. I think most people figure the top five is pretty good, and then after that, there's just a whole lot of question marks. And so I don't think they're going to end up with one of the five worst records either way. You know, and those top four spots anyway, you kind of have to luck into them. So I think it's their interests are better served probably trying to win, establishing themselves as, you know, a decent free agent market, because they're going to have, even if they don't use room this coming year, they're going to have all kinds of room the year after. So I think that is the way to do it, yes.
We're talking to John Hollinger here, former VP in the Grizzlies front office, senior columnist for The Athletic and the NBA. Why aren't the Bulls a more attractive free agent destination? Because historically they've been awful at it.
Yeah, I think Chicago is cold, and I think it doesn't have quite the glamour of New York, which is the, like, if people are going to go somewhere cold, they're probably going to go to New York first. So that's I think that's kind of the story. Now, there are a lot of players from Chicago who I think it does have more appeal to. You know, I think that's how they were able to get Dwayne Wade, for instance. So it has more appeal than, like, when we were in Memphis. I don't think we had a whole lot of appeal unless somebody had already lived there or played there or that kind of situation. But
so Chicago's closer to Memphis, like, than New York.
yeah. I mean, the thing we never had trouble with there was keeping guys that we had once they had been there. And I think that's one of the things that they can kind of sell Arturis and Billy with the program this year, is like, look, we're building, we're going somewhere, like, you know, stick around, be a part of this. And I think they can make a strong case to the players that are there, that are coming through there.
That's terrifyingly simplistic to think that all our years of bitching about a poorly run Bulls franchise were perhaps underselling geography as our problem, but maybe it's the case. John Hollinger, as you look at Patrick Williams so far and some of the other draft picks and how they've played, we love the potential of Patrick Williams, enjoy watching him. Where do you feel like that was a good pick at four, as we look at a half season or so in the NBA?
I feel like we can't say yet. it's a defensible pick right now, right? We just don't know where the curve is going to go from here. You see flashes from him, certainly the size, the ability to defend, the ability to get to a pull-up jumper. I think some of the questions that were still there from Florida State in terms of just his overall feel at the offensive end, instincts for rebounding, especially. So you just need to see how that plays out a little bit. But certainly he has the size, the maneuverability, you know, if you see it on the defensive end where they generally have them checking pretty good players in the other team. So he has a tool set to succeed in the league. I think it's more of a question of what level of player is he going to become. And we just don't know the answer to that yet.
Last thing with John Hollinger from The Athletic, former front office guy for the Grizzlies. Arturas Karnišević is, what we know about him is very little, frankly. He's very guarded. The media in Denver said, like, nobody, you know, could get anything from these guys, and it's all convoluted and all that sort of thing. Like, you know everybody in the league. What can you tell us about Arturas and Mark Eversley and the new front office of the Bulls?
I mean, that's kind of how he was with people in the league, too. So I'm not sure if they tell you that
Got
much
it.
More than that. I mean, he definitely is pretty careful about his kind of what he puts out there in his communication. I mean, which is fine if you have a plan, right? So, that's kind of what I can tell you.
Okay. Well, then we know what you know. Thank you.
Yes. Thanks, John.
John Hollinger, I love reading your stuff at The Athletic. Thank you for the time.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Some important takeaways, in my opinion, on the big picture stuff, because these questions get asked around. He says the Bulls are best served by trying to win right now because of the problems with the lottery and because of what they are building. And he said that Zach LaVine should get paid a max contract and probably will if he repeats this next year, and that it would not hamstring the Bulls to pay him so. That you have to pay your people, and that's part of what you do, and that would be impressive around the league. And not a detriment as you're trying to build a team. Those are important things to get confirmation on, in my opinion.
And that first-round pick for Thad Young. Like, that doesn't think that they'll get it, but if they do, they got to trade him. If you don't, then you keep
yeah.
him.
Well, like, I disregarded so that because I don't agree with that, and I don't want to.
Okay, fine. Confirmation bias, 2-6 on the score. But no, we'll hear from Matt Nagy at 5, but we're back well before that with a coach that just continues to be hilarious. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Good morning, everybody. This is... It's been a while since I talked to all of you last, and I know this is it was a little different last time that I had talked, so I'm going to be on my P's and Q's here.
La, 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 la. The Bears get to play the dude, Dan Campbell, twice a year. Is this not a great movie either? Earlier you said Rounders isn't a great movie.
Oh,
now is The Big Lebowski not a great movie?
No, The Big Lebowski is a great movie, and that's beautiful Dylan song used perfectly in that movie. And that's why Chris Tannehill's the best in the business. And oh, by the way, go to Spotify and search for Parkins and Spiegel, and you can get all the songs that Tanny uses in a curated playlist. It's not a top five Coen Brothers movie. That's another conversation, but that's just because I love the Coen Brothers as much as I do.
I love the Coen Brothers, too. It's crazy that it's in my five favorite movies of all time, The Big Lebowski, and it's not in your five favorite Coen Brothers movies of all time. So that's why there's chocolate, why there's vanilla, my friend.
Yeah, I'll take Barton Fink and Raising Arizona and Blood Simple above The Big Lebowski, and then A Serious Man speaks to me like very few other movies, but that's very personal on that level.
Well, there's also then still one more spot for 5 to be in the top 5.
Yes, that's true. I think
No Country for Old Men.
No Country for Old Men is
all 5 of those over The Big Lebowski.
Oh yes,
sorry,
absolutely.
Haters.
Absolutely. Tanny's with me on that. You're with me on those 5.
Absolutely. You know we've won the argument when someone calls you a hater. That's how you know we're right.
So I haven't seen all of those. Like, I have not seen A Serious Man yet.
There you go.
You've not seen A Serious Man?
Yeah. I've not seen A Serious Man.
Come on.
Okay. But so all 5 of those movies, Tanny, you have is better than The Big Lebowski?
Look, I love The Big Lebowski, but I think people like hold it in such high reverence because it's quotable and it's a great performance great performance, you know. What's his name? Jeff Daniels?
We didn't even mention Fargo. We didn't even mention Fargo.
We didn't.
Fargo's
yeah.
great.
And you could put probably in the top 5 there. I don't know what comes out of there, that list. Maybe Blood Simple instead of Fargo. I don't know. We could debate that for days here, and why wouldn't we? But yeah, Lebowski quotable, and it's pop culture like breakthrough. But as far as the actual movie itself, I'd rather watch any of those, I think, than Lebowski.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'll just be basic. I'll just be the everyman who admittedly hasn't seen all of those. I've seen Fargo, No Country for Old Men. I've seen Raising Arizona. I've seen multiple of them, but
haven't seen Barton Fink.
Have not seen Barton Fink.
Oh, dude, tonight. tonight. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you do. Come on. Right. I want it. I want yes. As fast as you can.
Okay, as fast as we can. I'll add it to the list.
And Hudsucker Proxy, you probably haven't seen either.
Have not
I love
seen
the
that
Hudsucker.
Either.
Yeah. See, for me. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, buddy,
okay.
I'm Buzz. I got the fuzz. I make the elevator do what she does.
Oh, you're going to do the thing where you just quote something that the other people don't. Okay, I get
yep.
it.
Yep. You got it.
Cool. Got it. Awesome. But Dan Campbell, the new coach of the Lions, you might remember him, called himself the dude. He was the kneecap guy. Can we get a recap of the kneecap guy? Just because he was talking again today. And I don't know if he won up to the kneecap.
When you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right?
Right. That guy. So that guy's in the NFC North now. And he had another press conference at the crack of dawn today. And he kept the sayings flying.
So what happens when it isn't a unanimous decision? What happens when you and Brad are maybe in a disagreement on a player? Who has that final decision, whether it's free agency or draft?
Good question.
That's been clear.
Yeah, Brad and I do.
Okay, so but again, what happens if you don't agree?
Well, here's what I would say. I kind of brought this up at the very – this is weeks ago. But here's what I'd say about a true alpha. A true alpha knows when it's time to concede for the betterment of the team. And so I would tell you one way or another, there's already been a couple of things where it's like, maybe we don't – you see it a little more this way, I see it a little – we haven't had one problem, and we're not going to have a problem. Because if we feel like it's the betterment for the team, and ultimately, let's go to what is the – Brad feels one way. What does the pack feel like? How does everybody feel? How do all the coaches feel? How does Ray Agnew feel? And if I'm the one, the odd man out, I got zero problem being like – and so – listen, I'm just telling you, I know where you're going with it. It won't be a problem.
True alphas eat kneecaps. Dan Campbell coming to third place in the NFC North in 3 years, near
a
year.
A true alpha knows when it's time to concede. There's all kinds of holes that we have here. Brad and I were talking about this the other day. As good as where they've been at the Rams and where we were at New Orleans, you're always talking about your holes, you know?
Can you say that on the radio?
I didn't think you could.
Unbelievable.
But, man, I like that, though. I'm with him on the philosophy, though. A true alpha knows when to concede. If you're truly an alpha, you can recognize when you might not be correct. You might not be the best option. Just let the other guy take a shot, you know? Pass it off to Paxson every once in a while. Let him hit the open shot, perhaps.
Well, I would love to be franchised. That would be nice. Because it's a pretty good little chunk right now. But
well, players will disagree. But there you go, Dan Campbell in the NFC North. We
third
played
place.
You some of the
third
Ryan
place.
Pace.
Hold
a true
on,
alpha
Danny.
Knows when it's time to concede.
You've got him steamrolling to third place. Does that mean the Bears are fourth?
Third place within 3 years.
Third
place within 3 years for Dan Campbell. Okay. I don't know. Something about that guy strikes me as not going to work. Assembling a good staff. Football people are weird. Football coaches are weirder. I'll sell stock in Dan Campbell. I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable selling stock in the Detroit Lions and kneecap eating. Matt Nagy, who I haven't sold a single share of. I'm going down with the ship like Enron. He weighed in on the Bears quarterback future next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.